1. Fight!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Ginger Snap Podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in. This is another Fight Church episode where we're going to go through and we're going to actually talk about these fights after they happened, okay? Instead of what I've been doing where I decided to actually watch the fights and talk about them simultaneously, I'm going to actually avoid that today because this fight card is insane. And I'm excited to talk about it because the main event isn't even the highlight of the card. It's like everything else was the highlight. And of course, they tried to use the main event as the main reason to sell the card. But here's the other thing. Great fight, but why? If it was such a great fight, wouldn't they have made it a pay-per-view? You know? If the main event was supposed to be this huge fight, this big deal within the MMA world, don't you think that they would have said, hey, let's make them pay for it? That's the way I look at it, because the biggest fights are obviously the ones that you're going to try to make money from. You know, just statistically, the best fights, you're going to want to make money from it. You're going to want to sell it. And here we have Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington. Now, this fight has been long in the making. And the only reason that is, okay, here's the thing. Let's just start from the beginning. Colby Covington came onto the scene, and he really only got notoriety when he was at the end of his contract, and he decided to put on this villain mask, okay, to be this bad guy. And yeah, everybody can sit around and tell us how much of an act it is, you know, how much he's just messing around. He's not actually this, you know, dick. He's not actually a jerk. He's not actually an asshole. He's a good guy. Whatever. You still hate him. And believe me, I do. Not a fan. Haven't been a fan of Colby since he burst onto the scene. And even though he claims to be all these things when it comes to fighting, we've seen him lose. Okay, Kamaru Usman handled him. But today's fight card, they were selling this card as, you know, as if, you know, Tyron Woodley and Colby were, you know, this big deal. And I would say a year ago, it would have been a big deal when Tyron was the champion. But we saw him lose. And I'll tell you what, every single time that dude steps in the octagon, he is scared to throw punches. He's timid as shit. And it is very, very hard to watch. Very hard to watch because most of us that have grown up watching MMA, we know Tyron Woodley. We've seen how he has devastated some fighters. And now we have to watch this. Now we're subject to this. We got to watch Tyron barely perform. Like, his best punch was at the very last second of the second or third round. He bit down on his mouth guard and threw a hard punch with some anger behind it, with some emotion. But that was it. All right, that was it. And they were, you know, Colby, I'm not saying the UFC was selling this fight card as, or this fight specifically, I'm not saying the UFC was pushing it at all, as if it's this big deal. But the fighters, Tyron Woodley, Colby Covington, they certainly were. They believed that, you know, Tyron himself was saying, I can't lose to Colby, I'm not that fighter, I'm going to go in there and take his head off, blah, blah, blah. Same thing with Colby. He was saying the same shit. This is the fight of the fight. This is the fight of fights. Here we go. Let's do it. Chaos is coming. There's a lot of C's in my name. Okay? You know, Donald Trump, all that stuff that he says. Whatever, man. But you still got to come in. Now, this is what makes him more hateable than what, because he essentially did what Conor McGregor did. But why people don't like Colby is he's taken it to another level, and he's not shutting dudes' lights off. He's not knocking anybody out. He's not getting performance of the night, knockout of the night, submission of the night. He's going in there and just simply outworking his opponent. Like, cool, man. Cool. Good to see you win by points. And I guess that's, you could say the same thing about the John Jones fights over the last four fights he's had at 205. The guy's been boring. He's been boring as shit. And it's so, I don't know, it's annoying as a fan to see them make this a main event, make this the main card, or the main event. This is the main event. They made this the main event as if we're sitting here really like, yay, we know they're going to perform. Hell no, dude. Everybody that watched that fight knew for sure what was going to happen. We knew. Within the first 2 minutes of the first round, we knew. I was like, oh, this is going to be five rounds for sure. The first thing I said after the first round was, well, one thing's for sure, Colby will bite on a fake, because that's all Tyron was doing. He was just pretending to throw punches and kicks, just half doing it. Like, bro, you got to commit. You got to commit, especially with after you did all that shit talking. And that's the one thing that I cannot stand about the fight game is these fighters that have this ability. Like, this isn't WWE, guy. Okay, if you're going to talk that shit, come to fight. Because in WWE, they can say all this shit because they kind of know what's going to happen. You're going into a fight against a guy who is going to fight you and he doesn't know what's going to happen, nor do you. So if you're going to talk that shit as if you can see the future, then come in to fight. Instead of coming in to fucking have a conversation in a wrestling match, come to fight. Throw some actual punches, dude. The numbers for a five-round fight, absurd. I mean, Tyron Woodley barely threw anything. You'd be lucky if he was over 70 punches throughout five rounds. I mean, it ended early in the fifth round, and we knew it was going to end. It was either going to end there, because Colby started to turn it up in the fourth round. It was either going to end in the fourth and fifth round, or it was going to go to decision, and of course, Colby walks out. Yay. But now he's calling out George Masvidal, and he wants to fight Usman again. And it's like, come on, dude. One thing's for sure, Colby can't sell fights. He can't. Because neither can Tyron Woodley. This is proof. Those are two big names, you would think. Big enough to sell a pay-per-view? Maybe not. Maybe they didn't even want to put it up to for the option, because they knew it was going to be a lackluster performance from Tyron Woodley. It was going to be a boring-ass fight. And sad to say, he didn't retire afterwards, but he did get injured. But it's like, what are you going to come back for, dude? So you can walk around the octagon again and pretend to be a fighter? I can't stand when they talk all that shit. You talk all that shit, and then you get in the octagon and you perform as if, you know, it's your fifth fight. You don't really know what you're doing. He said, he's quoted to have said something about, it's his job as a mixed martial artist to knock him out. Right? But did he? No. Did he come close? No. Did he throw shots that were even in a direction of a possible knockout? No. Honestly, if I was any fighter in that 170 division, fuck the title, dude. I would be going in there simply to smash Tyron Woodley. So, yeah, dude, I'd like to fight Tyron Woodley next. He looks like a worthy opponent. You have to wonder, what the fuck, what is Tyron doing? What is he going to do if he's going to continue fighting that's going to give him that spark again to essentially throw punches with some emotion, to give a shit about why he's there, to fight, you know? Because he hasn't done that. He's been in fights several different times now since even being a champion. Like, Darren Till was probably the last time that we saw anything worthy of watching from Tyron Woodley. And even then, you're like, ah, man, I was kind of hoping Darren was going to knock him out. But hey, here we are. But the whole problem with it is if Woodley hadn't talked all that shit before the fight and then went in and performed exactly like this, wouldn't have been a big deal. Wouldn't have mentioned it. But instead, he was out there running his mouth all over Instagram, all over the internet, and now he looks like a fucking fool. And what, is he going to blame it on his rib? Is he going to ask for a rematch? Why? There wasn't a fight in the first place. What are you rematching? Like, if you guys want to hang out in the octagon, do it on your own time. If you want to walk around the octagon a couple times and raise your hands and throw some punches at the air, do it on your own time. Don't pretend to be a fighter, okay? It's getting to be too much. It's getting to be too much. Too much fake. Everybody's trying to do that shit where they talk and predict their fights and how it's going to go, but nobody's done it like Conor McGregor, okay? And unless you can do that at least once, preferably your first time, no one's going to care. No one's going to care. If you're calling knockout and it's your first fight in the UFC and it happens, well, people are going to pay more attention. But when you're simply just talking about how shitty this guy's stamina is and how you're definitely going to out-wrestle him, just shut up. Shut up, dude. Who cares? Good for you. We get it. But I'll tell you right now, the last thing any MMA fan wants to see is a champion, much like Kamaru Usman, that just takes you down over and over and lays on you. Okay? We want our champions to be finishers. That's the entertaining part of the whole thing. Finish. Just because you're fighting doesn't make it exciting. You like how I rhymed there? Dr. Seuss me. But truly, I believe that. I really, really believe that. That's why guys like Corey Anderson never would have been a champion. And had he been a champion, they would do anything to dethrone him. Same thing they did to Tyron Woodley, essentially. They don't want that guy to be a champion. He doesn't sell fights. That's fucking boring. No one's paying $70 to watch a guy hug another guy. I mean, there's probably people out there that will. But it's not going to be the UFC. It's going to be something else. It's going to be different. But still, if you're the champion and you're a dominant wrestler, fine, dude. But you can dominate and finish still. I mean, Mark Coleman was a champion. Ground and pound guy. Randy Couture, champion, wrestler. Finisher, you know, had knockout power. Okay, I have nothing against wrestlers whatsoever, but I have a thing against finishing. All right, you have to come in here to finish. If you want to be remembered, finish the fight. This fucking wrestling match bullshit, save that for your career in the WWE once your MMA career disappears. Okay. That's obviously where you're going to go. It's fine. But like I said, same thing with Corey Anderson. It applies to Colby Covington. It applies to Tyron Woodley. It applies to Kamaru Usman. Nobody wants to see these dudes as champs. Okay? Nobody. There isn't a fan out there that's saying, fuck yeah, dude, I'm so happy Kamaru Usman's a champ. He's an inspiration. Nope. Sure isn't. Sure isn't. Same thing with if Corey Anderson would have ever got a title shot against John Jones. No one cares. Who gives a shit? It didn't matter at all. Nobody gave a fuck about that guy. And now he's going into Bellator. Bye. See ya. Because if one thing's for sure, we can count on UFC fighters, ex-UFC fighters becoming champions in Bellator. We can count on that. But Bellator doesn't require you to have a personality as a champion. They don't require that. period. And now we got Michael Chandler. We got Michael Chandler coming over from Bellator into the UFC. So right there is just still proof that the UFC is the mountain peak. It's the top. There's nothing else, okay? You can pretend to be this champion and whatnot over in Bellator, but it doesn't mean nothing until you're a champion in the UFC. It means nothing. All these people that have these accolades of being champions in other organizations, it means nothing when you step into that octagon, period. At all. I promise you. I've been watching this shit for way too long, and I've seen way too many fighters come over who have been champions, dominant champions, in other leagues, and they get smashed in the UFC by gatekeepers, by semi-unknowns, okay? So you can't sit back and tell me that, oh, this guy was just a champion, he's going to come over and dominate, it's going to happen, it's going to be exciting. No, it's not. There's a good chance Michael Chandler comes over and gets smashed. He gets crushed. Because every fighter that he fought in Bellator is an ex-UFC fighter. Okay? I'm saying the best ones. And some of them aren't even UFC fighters. Okay? So they're either ex-UFC fighters or never been UFC fighters. Therefore, his run as a champion and his losing as a champion and becoming champion again means nothing. Means nothing. Because he's coming over here and he's fighting some dude who's going to show him what it's like to be in the UFC. It's different. This is different. But hey, hats off to the guy. You can sit here and hope that maybe, yeah, he will do something valuable. I believe that. Everybody has a chance. It is the fight game. But don't pretend like just because you were a champion somewhere else that it helps you at all. It does not help you. All right? It doesn't. And that's the sad part about it, because there's so many people that are root for these guys. Like when the WEC was a thing, I didn't know that that was part of the UFC. Had no idea. But there was also lightweight fighters over there, Donald Cerrone, Carlos Condit, these guys. And I knew for sure that, yeah, they could be dominant, they could be champions over there, but until they fought any of the guys in the UFC, they didn't mean anything to me. They weren't accomplished. And sure enough, there were some of those fighters that came over from the WEC and became champions in the UFC, became dominant champions, or just became great, great fighters. I believe Donald Cerrone was a champion in WEC for a while, and he came over to the UFC and had some troubles. Same thing with Uriah Faber. You know, these guys that are super dominant over there, they come over and finally fight a guy who's been in the ringer in the UFC, and it is not the fucking same. It's not. Okay? Bellator is the NBA D League. The UFC is the NBA. Okay? If that's a better analogy for you. You're not playing grade school ball anymore. This is real. It's as real as it gets. Shout out Mike Goldberg. But we'll be back in a few moments right after this break. We'll be right back. should probably just be in action, you know? Should be ready to go. Fuck it. Why not? Why does it seem quiet now? Or not quiet, just less loud. Crank that up a little bit, huh? Right there? How's that one? I suppose it's probably okay, huh?
We'll see.
Bring the eyes up. Alright, so fuck. What was I saying? See, they think behind the scenes isn't just gonna be this, right? It's just the setting up of the microphone, the weird testing things we all do. And you can find that and so much more by subscribing to our Patreon at patreon.com/podculture. There's all kinds of exclusive behind the scenes things like you just heard, and I mean, that was weird, certainly weird, don't know how that happened, but either way, you get that and so much more. You get to hear what it's like before we get the episode ready, and I just hit the microphone, and this is so raw that it's gonna stay in here. That's how raw we're keeping it. But be sure to hit up that Patreon, support the show that you love, and we can keep creating and giving you guys the best quality that we possibly can, and not those weird behind the scenes that we're all looking for when we go to Patreon. But definitely subscribe, because otherwise, what am I doing here? I sat here and recorded this whole thing for you to make sure that you knew what was going on. And if you don't subscribe, I just feel like, you know, I feel like a jerk. I feel like a real jerk for wasting the time in this. And, you know, that's... It stinks. It really stinks. Patreon.com/podculture. Okay, guys, thank you so much for hanging in there with me. We're going to actually go through this whole fight card here. But we're definitely doing it in a different fashion than we're used to. In fact, we're doing it after the fights. That's how you got the first 20 minutes. You know, that's how you got all that ranting shit. Also, Senri Hujudo, what's his name? Henry Sejudo, what is it? The guy stinks. Don't like him. What a turd. You know, just a turd. And obviously he knows he's doing it on purpose. We all know he's doing it on purpose. But doesn't make me hate him any less. Okay, so the first fight you had Jerome Rivera, 10-2, versus Tyson Nam, who was 19-11-1. And Tyson Nam won by TKO in a pretty brutal fashion, I'd say. Next up, you had Derek Minor versus TJ Laramie. And Laramie actually just won a contract from Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series. So this is his first fight, official fight in the UFC. And he got tapped out very fast. Derek Minor won by submission. He's 24-11. And only 17% of the people picked Derek Minor. Crazy. I didn't even pick him. I thought TJ was going to win. The guy's got a story, man. He's got a reason to be a fighter. You got to love it. Then you got Andre Yule versus Erwin Rivera. And Andre Yule is 16-6. Erwin Rivera, 10-5. And Andre Yule won by decision. Great fight overall. Very good fight. And then you had a fight that lasted, I don't know, 15 seconds. It was Jurny Newsom versus Randy Costa. And Randy Costa was only 29% picked on this ESPN UFC Fight Night Pick'ems. And Newsom was 71%. He's 9-2. Randy Costa 5-1. And maybe that's why. Maybe people chose Jurny because he's 9-2. He has more fights. I don't know. But this fucking Randy Costa kid is nobody to sleep on at all. And I'll tell you what, there's like three dudes that look exactly like him that are making their way through the UFC. Edmund Shabazian looks a lot like Randy Costa, as well does Corey Sandhagen. It's very bizarre. They're like, they all fight the same, too. They got like this crazy karate style. Or at least their stance. I don't know if they don't fight this. You get it. Then you had Jessica Rose Clark, and this is a controversial fight for sure, and super gross. I'm not one to be that big of a fan of female fights, just because it seems like, I don't know, they punch each other a lot, and there's nothing to show for it. You know, it's rare to see knockouts or finishes. So whatever, man. That's how I feel. Deal with it. Jessica Rose Clark versus Sarah Alpar. Jessica Rose is 9-6. Alpar is 9-5. And Jessica Rose Clark was 72% picked on this UFC thing, this ESPN thing. 28% for Sarah. And I went with Jessica Rose Clark. Don't know why. I just pick those at random because truly I just think it's going to go to a decision 98% of the time. And this fight was controversial because there's a point where, I don't know, Sarah drops down for some reason against the fence. And as she drops down, just before her butt hits the floor, she catches a knee. And for sure, that knee broke her nose. 100%. You got to see a broken nose. It's in what seemed like slow motion because they kept looking. They kept looking because they needed to make sure that she wasn't a downed opponent. And she wasn't, which essentially means fight's not over. You got to get up. We're still going. And shout out to Sarah Alpar. Holy shit. That woman can take a beating. Oh, wow. Because not only did she get this broken nose from this knee, but she was made to continue fighting. She said she could, so it was on her as well. But she was made to continue fight. And she caught more knees to her face, more punches to her face. I mean, I would say 99.2% of the blood in that octagon from tonight's fight card was Sarah's. She was a gusher. Lots of blood. I mean, I don't even know. But the timing to catch that knee so perfectly. But then I also will say this. It looked to be that she threw another knee that was illegal. But the fight was, nothing happened. Either way, definitely the most damage in a fight for the entire card. So much damage. So a big shout out to Jessica Rose Clark and Sarah Alpar for sticking it out, man. Really putting on a battle. And Jessica Rose won by TKO. It'd be weird if I was like, yeah, Sarah won with her broken nose and all the blood by knockout. She kicked her in the face. Next up, you had Jordan Espinoza versus David Dvorak. And Jordan Espinoza, 33%, 15-7. And David Dvorak, 18-3 with 67% picking him. I also went with him. I'm a fan of the foreign guys. I like the guys that are foreign. They just have, I don't know, there's a different mentality in their training, and in their belief in the sport of martial arts. Okay? This is what it is. I mean, you can sit here and say that. Here's the deal. There's a good chance that there's plenty of American fighters that simply became MMA fighters because of Joe Rogan. But there's probably 9 times out of 10, the guys that are getting into mixed martial arts overseas are doing it because of, I don't know, like Bruce Lee or their dad made them. Well, next up you had Mayra Bueno Silva versus Mara Romero Barella. 6-1 for Mayra. And 87% picked her. And I was not one of them. I picked the girl who looked scary. Like, if she was wearing something different in this picture, and it could look like a mugshot, 100%. She looks terrifying. But she's apparently not as tough as I had thought she looked. because in this fight, she gets caught in what looks like a half-ass armbar. It's going to be an armbar, but she taps out before the arm is even extended. So we go from seeing these two girls and Jessica Rose Clark and Sarah Alpar beat the hell out of each other, more or less. It was a one-sided beatdown, but still. To this Mara Barella tapping out before the arm is even fully extended. Like, what happened? I've yet to see that in a long time. I've yet to see any fighter tap out of an armbar that fast. Replay the tape. Replay the tape. Go back and look at the fight yourself. And you tell me if she didn't tap out before it was extended. Because I'm telling you right now, she did. They showed the replay. And this woman was tapping before the arm. The elbow was... before the arm was straight. Okay? So, she won't be back. I almost guarantee she doesn't have another fight in the UFC. Kevin Holland and Darren Stewart are next up. Kevin Holland, 18-5. And Darren Stewart, 12-5. 84% picked Kevin Holland. And I was not one of them. Because Darren Stewart goes by the dentist. And I like that nickname, so I picked him. Okay? I really thought this fight could go either way. And hey. Great fight. Let's just say that. Went to decision. Beautiful work from both gentlemen here. And then you had Mackenzie Dern versus Randa Marcos. And Marcos has been doing very well. Really garbage record, though. 10-9-1. Ugh. It's like these. You're getting paid to fight. At least have something to show for it. 10-9-1. Come on. You will not see a record like that from any of the men. You won't. Go look at any professional MMA fighter's record that's a male. And tell me if you see anything that's 10-9-1. Anything close to that. Nate Diaz, he's like 22-11 or something. 10-9-1. But you can see why Nate Diaz... never mind. Forget it, dude. I'm not even going to... who cares? She lost. Ronda lost. I picked her. She's a ground person. Next up, you had Johnny Walker versus Ryan Spann. And of course, I picked Johnny Walker. But when that fight started, I'm like, well, here we go again. Another one of these fucking guys, these fluke fighters that come in and just lay dudes out in their first three fights, only to fall off and stop winning completely. I thought that was what was happening, for sure. But oddly enough, even though Johnny Walker was rocked like three times by Ryan Spann, gotta give him the credit where credit's due, he did rock the guy. That's what made me think Johnny's about to lose again. Because similar situation happened, but it was Corey Anderson that beat him. Like, fuck. Of all the fighters, you know, we mentioned him earlier. You'll have to rewind it. But, yes, Johnny Walker, Ryan Spann, very active fight, but very quickly does it end. And Johnny Walker wins pretty much the same way that Ryan Spann lost his first Contender Series fight. I think it was Carl Roberson that actually finished him and kept him from getting a contract because he went in for this double leg, and while he was shooting the double leg, he took like, I don't know, 12 elbows to the side of his head. This is not good. It's not good. You're not going to come out of that okay. And that's exactly what Johnny Walker did today. Bang, bang, bang. Here's some elbows. The dude lost his ability to stand, and then... Johnny Walker proceeded to throw just hammer fist, just smashing the dude. So Johnny Walker, 17-5, 54% picked him to win, and I was one of those. Ryan Spann, 18-5, and, you know, he lost. But here's the real reason I wanted to do this afterwards. I felt like it was necessary, not only because there were so many great fights. I mean, the fucking knockout, the head kick knockout from Randy Costa, beautiful. Okay, that set the night up very well for me. I was like, okay, this is a good start. This is the prelims. I don't know why this kid's on the prelims anyways. But there's also this fighter named Khamzat Chimaev, who is 8-0, and he now holds the record in the UFC for quickest turnaround fights. Because He gained a lot of hype after his first fight because he declared that he would fight again the following week or something like this, very soon afterwards. He said, I'll fight again as soon as possible. And they definitely put him on the card, and he definitely won again. Okay, so then they put him on this card. He says, okay, you win this fight, buddy. You got the record. That's nuts. So there's a lot of hype behind this Chimaev guy. He is 8-0, so undefeated. He fights in Switzerland, but he's a Russian he's a Russian-born guy. And like I already declared, I'm going to root for the foreign fighter anyways, in most cases. But this time, he was fighting a guy by the name of Gerald Meerschaert, who has almost 35 fights. He's been in the octagon 12 times. I think he's like tied for second place of most submissions in middleweight history, whatever, something like this. He's a good fighter. He's a known name. He's a known finisher. And he had plans to stop the hype train that was Khamzat. But unfortunately, this fight ended in 17 seconds when Chimaev knocked him out. And he knocked him out with one punch. Yeah. Yeah. So when you see this, when you see a guy come in, fight back-to-back, and seal the deal, well, now we got ourselves a contender. Now we got ourselves a star. And this is exactly what it takes, okay? He won by submission, I believe, his second fight. Nonetheless, you're not going to get... This is a guy you want to see fight for the belt. It's not the same thing that you can say for, like, Corey Anderson. Who else have I heard want to fight for different belts that are just garbage? I mean, even Colby Covington. It's like, yeah, dude, you talk on the mic, but nobody wants to hear what you have to say. That's different than this Chimaev guy. Because people really, I think, there's something about specific fighters that draws you in. I don't know what it is, but there are certain ones that have it. Israel Adesanya, for instance, when he came onto the scene. You know, for many of us veterans that watch the show, you know, we've been watching this damn UFC, watch the sport, I should say, show, what am I talking about? For those of us that have watched this sport for as long as we have, we see guys like Darren Till, like Israel Adesanya, come onto the scene, and we think, okay, well, they're going to get dismantled, for sure. You kind of hope so. And then you only find out, oh, this guy's been in, he's fought six other times in the UFC, didn't care to pay attention to him before. Now, for some reason, he's fighting higher up on the card against a bigger name, and he does well, very well. You're like, oh, shit. But in our minds, you think, oh, this guy's, this is his second fight in the UFC. But turns out he's been in there for a while. And then they get on the mic. I mean, even seeing a guy like Darren Till, who didn't even do that well when he first came around, he just had something about him, and he still does, where you're going to root for the guy. You're going to root for him. You're going to believe the things he says. But not everybody has that. Not everybody has it. I mean, Sean O'Malley, okay? Sean O'Malley, great fighter, loses this last fight. Are we still not here for the sugar show? Okay? Because I haven't seen anything that wasn't his fault. He lost that fight. It wasn't his opponent. He wasn't defeated by another force. Essentially, he beat himself. And that's fine. That doesn't break your spirit. That doesn't break your spirit like getting knocked out by a guy. Getting choked out by a guy. Right? Breaking your ankle. Losing because you can't stand anymore. Eh. Your limbs can only take so much. But Khamzat beats Gerald Meerschaert in 17 seconds. Then we had Donald Cerrone versus Nico Price, and what a fight this was, too. This is one of those fights where you're like, okay, Donald, keep standing, keep standing, keep standing. Donald, you know, you're watching him. He's taking a lot of damage. This could end quickly. Only to find out he sticks it out. He sticks it out, and this fight ended up going to a draw. And it's only like the second or third draw that I've ever seen. But it totally makes sense. It totally made sense. There was eye pokes from both sides. But overall, very well matched. This Donald Cerrone-Nico Price fight was probably one of my favorites on the card, if not my favorite, as far as lasting, you know, being fun to watch and lasting to a decision. And that brings us to Tyron Woodley versus Colby Covington. And what a stupid shit that was. Just nothing. I'm fine. It's good. I don't even care about it at all. Hey, guys, means nothing. The only thing you can hope is that maybe we'll get to see another free fight or, you know, pay for your ESPN Plus, but see a fight on ESPN from George or Jorge Masvidal and Colby. And I just don't think that Masvidal is going to be as afraid to pull the trigger as Tyron Woodley. Because I think what most of us are looking forward to seeing, and the main reason that we even tune into Colby Covington fights, is to see him lose. You want to watch him lose. I want to see what he looks like when he gets knocked out. I want to see his arms and legs stiffen up like he just got electrocuted. That's why we tune into him. That's why it's worth watching, because everybody likes to see the bad guy get beat. And that's what he done. That's what he did. He made himself that guy. And some could say that McGregor's a bad guy, the way that he trash talks. But that's a strategist. That's different than a guy who's simply a bad dude. Like, I'm just a dickhead. That's it. Doesn't benefit me one way or the other. Because if it did, probably would have had this as a pay-per-view fight, right? Interim champion, ex-interim champion versus ex-world champion. Come on. Any other weight class, that's a pay-per-view. But I feel like we've done probably enough for this episode. Probably one of the longer Fight Church episodes. But I appreciate you guys very much. And check out that Patreon. And we will see you next time.